Welcome everybody to the live stream. So we're gonna do a question and answer. I'm here with Dan Frio, as always on our Wednesday lives at 8 p.m. Eastern. Well, it's like 7 for you, right? Your central time?
Yep, 7 o'clock.
And Dan's gonna act like he's not sick, but Dan's definitely getting sick.
I'm not.
He said that he had some spicy food.
I did. Can we start making tacos? And I think I sniffed some of their taco seasonings, and all of a sudden I just start sneezing. Oh well, Stella.
If it's me.
Hey, Stella from Michigan.
I still got something going on in my.
Did you ever take that echinacea I told you?
Yeah. You know what? I saw it in the store, and I was like, you know what? I need to get this, and I didn't, and I really regret it. I'll go back and do it. I promise.
Don't be a cheap ass. Go get some echinacea.
It's not even that bad either. I was just like, I'll get over this, and I didn't. Been like a month, so no, not that quite long. My brother's here. Good to see you, Francisco Villa Gomez. What's today's FHA rate? We're actually going to get into that here in just a second. So part of what we're going to do for today is just go through kind of a Q&A. So normally we'll spend like the next hour and we're just going to answer questions that you have. So feel free to leave those in the chat. We don't have as many people here today.
Welcome. You know what's amazing? Usually about 10 minutes into it, all of a sudden the count will like triple.
That could be a thing. So maybe we'll wait for that. But we're also going to go through showing you how we price out loans. Which is kind of interesting because I don't know that any other lender does this. Are you aware of any lender that like shows?
No. Nobody wants to. You know, I always tell people we have no problem, you know, showing you behind the scenes, like, you know, Wizard of Oz. You're getting shown behind the curtain. That we got no. There's no transparency. There's all and everything but transparency here. I said that completely wrong, right?
Yeah.
We give you complete transparency here. So that's what I was trying to hear. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this today is we have so many people that will call in and they say, well, Kyle, you know, I watch your video. I watch Kyle's video and this and that. And, you know, Kyle stresses, you get three quotes and things like that. You know, probably a lot of those videos were a little bit old. I know they've been old since you came on our team. But, you know, you don't have to do that anymore. We have alternate ways on how we can help you. The best thing by going through our system is it's one credit pool. You know, I called a gentleman today, and one of the things he had was, he's like, are you please not going to do like credit card or car dealerships do? You know, you go to buy a car, and then you walk out of there, and you got the car, but you had 18 credit inquiries. That's what will not happen. You're going to have one credit pool, and then we're going to scan the system to see what is out there for you.
Yeah. So we're going to do that today. So if you have your, and Francisco, we'll get to that question here in just a second. If you have like a scenario, what we need you to tell us is, oh my gosh, hopefully that wasn't too loud. What we need you to tell us is what your estimated FICO score is. What kind of loan are you getting? What kind of down payment? Or like what loan amount or what purchase price, your down payment. We also need to know a zip code. Not super necessary. Most of the time, it's always going to be pretty similar in most of the US. And then we're going to assume that's a primary residence, one unit, unless you specify otherwise. So if not, feel free to include those and we'll show you how we would price this out. Drew, if you come in here with your Oregon stuff again.
Drew. Oregon. Drew, I spent the weekend in Oregon and I bought some stuff.
Gosh. You know what's weird is I don't see Nightbot in here for some reason. Got to figure what's going on there.
Where's my guy Ray?
I know he's not here yet.
He's not in here yet. He'll be here.
Linda Air Rio, thank you for being here. Jackie Moon, awesome. Okay, so Linda, you first asked, and I'm sorry I can't pull it up on my software right now for some reason. But you asked, what's your opinion of a 2-1 or a 1-1 buy down? Are you familiar? Who's offering a 1-1 buy down? I'm not familiar with that.
No, I've heard there's two ones, and we do have a 3-2-1 buy down. I don't know of many companies out there that have that.
Yeah, and there's definitely a 1-0, but I haven't heard of a 1-1. We got $10,000 in seller concessions on a $345,000 home. Our interest rate will drop from 6% to 4%, dropping our payment by almost $400. So basically, what's our opinion? Let me explain what a temporary buy down is. to begin with. So I actually have a calculator here on my website that does the math for you and helps you understand it a little bit more. You can just go to winthehouseyoulove.com/buydown or just go to Win the House You Love and it's up here in the tools section. So you mentioned, let me see here, $345,000 home. I don't know what your down payment is, but I'm just going to put in a sample 5%. And then you start with what the lender is offering you as kind of the par rate for the loan. I'm going to zoom in here so it's a little bit easier to see. So you said 5.99. We're just going to do 6. It's effectively the same thing. And yeah, like you mentioned, your payment's going to lower by up to $400 per month. The way it works is in year one, your payment lowers by 2%. Okay, so you have a 4% rate in year one. In year two, you have a 5% rate. And then in year 3 through 30, it stays the same as that 6% or that 5.99. And you can see what the payment here, principal and interest payment, would be. It also walks you through, you know, a couple other things showing you how much money you would need to get this in seller credits. You mentioned you had $10,000 in seller credits, so you'd only need $7,200. The rest of that $10,000, so, you know, roughly $2,800, could be used towards paying down your other closing costs. So I think that a 2-1 buy down is definitely a strategy that you can use, especially if your payment is a little bit tight at the moment and you're expecting rates to potentially drop down in the future. However, I don't think a 2-1 buy down is for somebody who's struggling on their closing costs. If you're having no problem paying your closing costs, I would say 2-1 buy down is great to look at. But if you are struggling with your closing costs, if paying your closing costs and your down payment is going to wipe out your bank account, it's going to be best to use that seller concessions towards the majority of your closing costs to make sure that, you know, you didn't buy a house and now you don't have any money left. To me, the 2-1 buy down is mainly for people who, okay, I still have a lot of cushion in the bank, so I can afford to pay the closing costs and then use this 2-1 buy down program here. Do you have any thoughts there on opinions on 2-1 buy downs?
The benefit, basically, you have kind of three options. You can use that money to pay down your closing costs. I don't know if you're going to really have, it depends on the state that you're in, how much closing cost you will have. Like lenders like us, we really don't have, you know, we have one fee. It's $895 for processing. So you have to weigh it against, the nice thing about the 2-1 buy down is, let's say, for example, rates go down next year or this year after you close 6 months. You can refinance and you don't lose that money that's set aside. It's basically set aside in an escrow account to cover your interest month over month. So let's say, for example, you want to refinance in 6 months. You're still going to have a balance left over in that escrow that's going to come back to you or come off of your payoff. If you use that money, so we have right now, you can apply it to your closing costs. You can do the 2-1 buy down. And the benefit there is if rates do go down, you can refinance and that money comes back to you. You're not losing it. The area I wouldn't do right now is I wouldn't buy down my rate permanently because I'm still expecting rates to come down a little bit more. So if you do that, and let's say, for example, you know, 6 months from now, the rates go down into the fives. You lose all that money because you bought down that rate and you didn't have time to recover those costs for that buy down. Yeah. So my thing is I would use it, depend, like Kyle said, if you have excess money in the bank, use it to do the 2-1 buy down. Fantastic. If rates go down, refinance and you're going to get some of that money back. But if you don't have any money, you're basically losing every penny to put down on the property. I would suggest what Kyle says. I would use it to cover my closing costs, maybe some other things, and keep some of that money in your pocket. Yeah. But no, I that's perfect.
Let's see. We also have MA in here. Hello, Julie Green. You have a great question. I'm going to get to that in a second. Aereo Credit Ramsey. Let's see. Selamawit Tube. Maria, Drew, as always, thank you for being here. All right, let's jump down through some of these questions. I do want to get back to Francisco's question here in a second. We're going to go through rates and lenders and how we shop lenders and how all that works. So we're going to circle back to that. Jackie, you asked, what are some questions I should ask a real estate agent to see if he is trustworthy? Really, I don't know that there's a particular set of questions that's going to unlock the secret of if someone's a trustworthy or not. And if you find any of those questions online, somebody who's untrustworthy probably would have looked up to see what questions someone's asking.
Deleted them by now.
Yeah, and have a good, like, agents like to have, like, scripts to think to common questions. And so you know, you don't want to ask a question and then like get a script in return. Really, I think one of the best gauges is like, and I borrowed this phrase from Dave Ramsey, don't completely agree with everything that he says, but what I do like is he talks about the idea of someone having the heart of a teacher. And really the way that you understand that is if you ask somebody questions, it's really just, what do you have questions about? If you have questions about something, ask it. If someone starts to become defensive and they blow you off, then maybe they don't have what Dave Ramsey would call heart of a teacher. To me, that's who I want to work with, is somebody who helps explain things to me. Doesn't make me feel like I'm dumb because I asked the question. That's really how I would determine if someone's trustworthy, as opposed to like some like question and answer that fits perfectly. Yeah. Lee, thank you for your super chat. You asked, or you said, moved into my first home in late 2021 with a conventional loan. I'm thinking about buying another property to move into within the next 18 months, but I don't want to sell the current property. Is this possible? You want to take that, Dan?
Yeah. Yes, it's absolutely possible. You can keep buying. You can buy a house every month if you'd like. That isn't sarcasm. You actually can. So here's the guideline. Here's what I would follow. You want to buy another property to move into. So, okay. So what'll happen is it has to, I always say it this way. It has to pass the smell test. Okay. So I don't know if you're going down this route, but let me just explain. If you have a house now, and let's say you bought a $500,000 house, you're living in it, and then you want to buy another house. Let's say that house is, you know, $350,000 and it's smaller than the house you have. A lot of times, is it possible? Do people do that? Absolutely. But it's a lot of times you might get into a little bit of a jam because the underwriter is going to look at this and say, are they really going to downsize? You know, here's something that just stands out like a sore thumb. We have people, I'm in the outside of Chicago, and people, you know, if somebody's in the suburbs and they have a single family home, and then they call in and say, you know, I'd really like to buy a 4-unit down in the city, okay, in a less desirable area. So you think to yourself, does somebody want to move from the suburbs in a, you know, nice house or whatever down into the city? Not saying there's anything wrong with the city, but live in a 4-unit building, basically an apartment building. Probably not, you know, and maintain their prior house. And the reason why they try to do that is to get less of a down payment required. But to answer your question just out front, yeah, you can absolutely buy another property if it makes sense. Maybe you're moving because of your job. Maybe it's a bigger house, you know, whatever's. Then you can use the rents from your current house to kind of offset that payment when you're qualifying for the new one. So I apologize for the lengthy description there, but just I like to try to give you my experience of what I've ran into, because you might just talk to somebody briefly and they're like, oh yeah, no problem. It depends. And that's why we try to do as many consultations a day we can to get these questions in the forefront so you really get the true answers.
Yeah, and you followed up with, how do I go about qualifying for the second home mortgage, which would be a primary home? So if you're living in it, it's classified as a primary home. A second home is actually a classification of mortgage where you would only live in it part of the year. So think of it like a vacation home. A lot of people do this with like short-term rentals, so VRBO or Airbnb. They'll purchase it as a secondary home, which is very similar to a primary home, but it just requires 10% down. The rate is higher on a secondary home. But if you're going to live in it as your primary residence, it's going to be a primary home for you. So you'll be able to take advantage of likely 5% down on a conventional loan, depending on your income, possibly 3% down, depending on if you can qualify for a Home Ready or Home Possible program. But ultimately, like Dan said, it'd be a primary residence house for you, and you could use the rental income to help you qualify. Awesome. Let's see. Air Rio, you had a question, but you redacted it, so I'm going to assume... I'm not going to cover it unless you want to ask that again. Okay, you followed it up. We'll get to that in a second. Maria, you said, hello, I'm going to sell my house, but obviously I need to buy another one. That takes steps without the most important ones. That takes steps without the most important ones to have equity, type of house, down payment. So I'm guessing this is kind of similar to what we were just talking about. I'm going to sell my house, but I want to buy another one. Maybe what are the steps that I need to take in that process, like the type of house or down payment? Is that what you're gathering from there?
It seems like I need to buy another one that takes steps without the most important ones to have? I'm lost. I think maybe they're saying, do I have to sell my house first to buy the next house because I need the equity out of that to buy the next house? That might be the question. If that is, I'll just answer it real quick. It's you can get what's called a bridge loan. They're really expensive. So usually you get a bridge loan on the equity of the position that you have left in your house. The company, because of the finance company you go through for that bridge loan, is going to charge you probably a bunch of points and fees because they know you're going to probably pay off that house or pay off that lien within 6 months because it's a bridge loan. They know the house is on the market. So they're not going to have enough time to really earn interest on your loan. So they're going to charge you a bunch of money up front to make their profits on the loan, because there's really no profits in the interest that you're going to be paying because you might only pay for 3 or 4 months. So if that's your question, that would be my answer. You can get a bridge loan, but they are really expensive.
Yeah. I know sometimes it's hard to answer, or it's hard to ask questions. Like, YouTube only gives you, I think, 200 characters. And so I totally get it. It's sometimes hard to ask those questions and like, how do you ask the whole thing and be concise and put it all together? Dan, do you want to go through doing some pricing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Somebody just post earlier, what's the rates on this? Or do you have anybody out there that asked a question in regards to
what Francisco actually asks, ask what the going rate on FHA is.
Yeah.
So here's my FICO is 747 with 5,000 credit card debts. Got approved 5.5 rate with $7,000 credit. Loan at 480. I'm a little confused on which credits are happening here.
My FICO is 747, 5K in credit cards, got approved for 5.5 rate. That seems really weird. With a $7,000 credit, loan of 480 with a 5,000, I don't know what 7,000 credit, maybe 7,000 in fees? Wouldn't be a 7,000 credit because you're getting $5,000 credit from the seller. Well, without any ado, let's take that and go 747 FHA loan. Do a 96.5 or whatever value he has. The whole goal here, what we want to show you is how we can, the rule of thumb is always, get 2-3 quotes. It's the rule of thumb. If you're looking to buy a car, you go to 3 or 4 dealerships. If you're getting plumbing done, electrical done, whatever, you'll usually get a couple quotes. We're trying to, throughout the years, I've tried diligently to figure out a way how to do that for you guys. So you can, because the frustration is you're calling all these places, you got to put multiple applications in, everybody's pulling your credit. It's time consuming. It's frustrating. And it's, this isn't your full-time job to get a loan. So we can do all this for you. We can do your one-stop shop.
Do you have a scenario you want to run specifically?
Yeah. The gentleman that you just had up, it was let's say it's a $400,000 purchase.
Okay. I'm not sure if I can I can zoom in there. Ooh, that's better.
The top part needs to be FHA. He said it was FHA.
And then so if you want to run the Provident stuff, we can do that as well. I can pull up another.
So what we do is, this is a system that we have, that we use. All the loan officers with our team uses this. And what it's going to do is we plug in all your data. And then it's going to scan every lender that we're we have the ability to work with. There's over 80 something lenders in here. So what that means is you're going to have one application, you're going to have one credit report, and you can get virtually 85 different quotes. And once Kyle finishes here, let's just go. Yep. Okay. Sorry about that. Once Kyle finishes here, you'll see, and we're not even going to redact the lenders this time. So this is the system we use. These are the companies we are set up with, but right through here. So if you go to the left real quick, these give you the companies that we're set up with. Okay. There's, you probably know half of these companies. Like, a lot of people use Rocket Mortgage. We deal with Rocket. We're probably one of their biggest brokers that they deal with. We get discounted rates, discounted fees, and everything. So fortunately for us, and unfortunately for them, most of the people, if you go to Rocket directly, in almost every case, we can get you a lower rate and lower fees than they do by going through Rocket through us. Okay, so that just shows you that. So the first column that you're going to see is the lenders that we have, we're going to get quotes from. And then if you can slide over, here's the wild part. If you can go slide over to the rates and just scroll down. Yeah. Yep. So here, here, what I want to do is I want to show them the variations of the rates with each lender. So you could see here,
yes,
where right the first here. Lender goes across, there's the rate. There's the rate. You scroll that. Now it's the same data. Remember, we provided this exact same client's data, but you can go down through there and see every company's rates and where they are. Okay. This is the same one. So our job and your job, what you should be doing is you're trying to find the cheapest money, but you want to make sure you're working with somebody that can pull through for you. Okay, so basically we're that shop. So the goal wasn't to force you guys to use us or really do that. We just want to show behind the scenes how we can help you not only do counseling, not only do education, not only do the YouTubes, not only helping everybody in the country because we're a federally chartered bank licensed everywhere in the country. We're going to scan the whole country on your behalf to find out who has the best rate and the program that fits your needs. And so this
I'll
is
say
exactly
one thing real quick. Woodrow said like having 85 FHA quotes seems pointless. And right. The point is not having all of them. The point is finding which one is the better one. Because for instance, like let's take a look here. These all say 5875. The difference though is that 5875 here gives this buyer a $500, almost $600 credit at closing. Whereas with this lender, even if you work with like Carrington, for instance, if you come in here, 5875 costs you $5,500. This would cost you $28,000. This loan would never close. But the difference is the pricing that you get along with the rates as well.
And when we say pricing, we mean interest rate. It's the rate and the costs involved. So no, it'd be like if you're searching for a car, you plug in the make and model you want, blah, 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 blah. It's gonna open up a whole spreadsheet of cars all over the place for sale. What are you gonna look at? You're not gonna look at the most expensive one. You start out by, it's the exact same car. It's a brand new car. Think of it that way. And you pull up the listing price of these on 100 different websites, and that car starts at $50,000 and it goes all the way up to $100,000 for the exact same car. Which one are you going to buy? Are you going to spend $100,000 or $50,000 for exactly the same car? That's our point. It's we don't use 85 lenders. We have even more than that. We also bank a lot of our own loans because we are a federally chartered bank. So all the bank affiliates we have aren't even on here. So we might even have rates that are better than this. So the whole tool here, the whole education piece is we're just showing you behind the scenes on what we do. Okay, so you don't really necessarily have to go out on your own, talk to 3, 4, 5 different companies, because again, what's going to happen, it's going to take you, an hour between the conversation, filling out the application, doing everything else, uploading all your documents. They're going to pull your credit. So yeah, I know you can have your credit pulled multiple times within a certain time frame, but do you want to go through that hassle every time? So if you don't, this is just one tool that we use. So we're just trying to show you behind the curtain a lot of the things that we do to open up the transparency to show you guys what we do.
Another interesting thing too is like when you take a look at rates, I think what a lot of people don't realize is you also, you kind of get to choose which rate you get. And so every rate has either a cost or a credit associated with it. So for instance, we can go into this and actually see a whole list of rates along with their price or the credit that comes with it. So for instance, this is a $581 credit that would go towards paying down closing costs. Another option is both of these rates cost the same amount of money. They're $10 different. But if you paid $650 in an upfront point, which would be 0.167 points, you could go down to 5.625%. So being able to actually see behind how these rates are structured, what rate you could get along with its actual cost difference or credit difference helps you see like, oh, okay, well, a difference in $600 in points versus a $500 credit drops your interest rate from a 5.875 down to a 5.625%.
Yeah. And the other thing that we analyze for you is then we say, okay, well, the difference there is you pay $600 on the one, you get $500 on the other. So it's $1,100 kind of swing. What is the difference in the payment? So that's when Kyle and myself talk about your break-even point. How long does it take for you to recover the cost that you paid to get the lower rate? Okay, so that's what we were saying at the beginning of the video when you do the 2-1 buy downs or you do a buy down or whatever. The tough thing is once you buy down the rate, I mean, the money's gone. So what we don't want to do is I don't want you to spend, $8,000 to save $20 a month and then your break-even point is 40 years down the road, you won't even have the loan 40 years from now. So our job also is to analyze and help you guys understand what the break-even point is. But we're in a really unique time right now where mortgage rates basically almost tripled within a year's time. And there's a lot of havoc out there right now. Once things settle, you'll start seeing the markets settling more and more and more. And I still think my prediction on mortgage rates, you know, I'm thinking that by the end of the year, we should be right around 5.5. You know, a lot of people refinanced or bought houses within the last 6 months. Well, since November, where that's where we saw peak rates at 7.375, rates today were about 6.125. So they're down about almost 1.5% from where we were just in November. So if you bought out there, you might think, well, I'm stuck and I bought, you can refinance. And that's another thing. You know, if rates go down and you don't have to really use that rule of thumb, you know, one rule of thumb is, well, rates have to drop 1 full percent for me to refinance. That's the only way it makes sense. Not necessarily, because back years ago when that kind of rule was put in place, your closing costs were substantial. Many times right now when you refinance, you might have closing costs, you know, and I won't say this, you know, it is, you know, you do have to spend some money. You might be looking at $1,500 total, you know, to do this. And, you know, it over the long run, it will save you a ton of money if and when the rates get to that point. So just another food for thought.
Not to mention the difference too of going from like an FHA loan and then refinancing into a conventional, how much money you'll actually save on the mortgage insurance cost.
Yeah, huge. And that's what we don't only just close your loan, we'll track it, we'll put you into a CRM, we call it, a data, it monitors your loan. So it's tagged to interest rate, the interest rate charts right now. So if we see in your loan that rates have dropped over, you know, 0.5%, we put triggers in there. I usually put about 75 basis points or 0.75%. If rates start to drop to that point, you're gonna automatically be triggered notifications from us, and we'll get notifications. So we need to reach out to you to see if you'd be interested in refinancing and would it make sense.
Credit Ramsey said, active military here, getting out soon. Should I do a conventional loan or a VA loan in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? Really, VA loans are fantastic. There's this thing that people do with 0% down where they think, like, if you can't put 20% down on a house. I've been seeing this a lot on the FHA video I made recently, where people are like, well, if you can't put 20% down on a house, you shouldn't be buying a house. I'm like, okay, let's like work through that. Like, where are you getting the number 20? Why not 18? Why not 50? Like, how did you land on 20? And you start to see like, oh, these were just things that got told over and over and over again. Okay. I think what a lot of people don't realize is, let's say you do put 20% down on a house, but that 20% down wipes out your savings. I would rather put 0% down and have that money still sitting over in my account than put that money in on the house, because it's tied up at that point. You can always put extra money into the equity of your home to pay down your loan balance. Of course, paying it up front can reduce your monthly payment slightly. It's not an insane amount unless you're putting quite a large down payment down. But that's why I like VA loans a lot, is because you have the ability to do 0% down. And it's not a grant, and it's not a second loan like a lot of down payment assistance programs. It is just simply 0% down. Also, the rates on VA are better than conventional loans by quite a bit. The only downside to a VA loan, because you don't have the monthly mortgage insurance, is you have an upfront funding fee, and this is added into your loan amount. This will change depending on your down payment and also how many times you use the VA loan. But for first time VA use, if you put 0% down, it's 2.3% added to the loan amount. If you have 10% or more service connected disability, then that funding fee is waived. So ultimately, what we can do as well is I can put this into a loan calculator that I have that compares conventional versus VA and a couple of different other loan types. And if you want, feel free, connect with Dan. He can give you a quote for both, and then we can put them in and then let them kind of battle out and see which one's going to be better for you. But
just so you guys know, we work together.
Yes.
So it's not like Kyle's out there doing his thing and I'm out there doing the same thing. We're on the same team. We are work together. We talk every day. We do loans together. We do everything. So it's basically a team here.
Yeah.
One of the things I want just to bring up, since you brought up VA, since the Ramsey or the last person brought up a VA, just I want to throw this out there. If you have a disability or VA disability, check with your state to see if you are real estate tax exempt. Because I just had a consultation yesterday with a vet who was 100% disabled. God bless him. And I let him know. I said, you know, you should qualify. I don't know where you're looking to buy, but you should qualify for exemptions on your real estate taxes. And behold, it was a state that was exempt. So he's going to pay 0% real estate taxes. Think about it. I mean, that could save you $300-$500, probably on average about $400 to $600 a month minimally.
Wow,
that's a huge difference. So just for food for thought out there.
Drew said we're in cahoots.
We're in cahoots. Together, I go the wrong way. We're in cahoots.
Ario said, hi, a first-time buyer in Tampa area looking to spend about $350,000. And you know what, Dan? We need to do our countdown timer thing because...
you're pretty windy.
I know. Got to keep us in check. Okay.
So, guys, if you were on a couple weeks ago and Kyle wasn't here, I think we probably answered like 500 questions in about an hour and a half. Kyle comes on board and we get through three in 2 hours. What?
I'm going to take none of the blame. None of that is me. Looking to spend about $350,000 on a home. I make $50,000 a year and I filed a 1040. Okay. I'm not sure what you mean by the wages thing, but credit score is about 770. Looking for an FHA or conventional loan, please advise. Really, if you have a 770, you really should be looking at a conventional loan. The only reason you might be looking at an FHA is, wait, I forgot my timer. The only reason you might be looking at an FHA is if you're looking at a multifamily, like 2 to 4 units, and you want to take advantage of the lower down payment. The only other option would be is if you had a high debt to income ratio and you needed the FHA loan to increase your buying power. Other than that, conventional is going to be best for you.
I have a quick video coming out tomorrow afternoon. Basically, it's like 3 minutes long, and it says, you know, when to choose an FHA loan and when not to choose an FHA loan. Check it out, and it won't bore you. It's quick and to the point. And for those out there, you guys, I have my own channel, just so you guys know, because I had multiple people that I was talking today on my consultations, and they're like, Dan, I didn't get an alert yet today. I didn't get an alert, and I'm like, well, I posted mine last week, so I don't know if you posted on yours. Did you send out a thing that alerted everybody or anything? Do you know?
So YouTube will send, I think if you like turn on the little bell icon somewhere on the...
Okay, maybe she didn't do that, below. But I was like, well, subscribe to my channel too, and you'll at least get an update. So check out my channel at the end of this video. Kyle will post some things up there so you guys can
tag Dan's channel in the in the title, so you can just click straight on it and head over there. Stella Harris said, what's your recommended percentage to save for a down payment and closing costs? 7%, 3.5. So basically, what was the total of each?
Me do it?
I'll restart.
I love Kyle's point of view. I don't know what the 3.5% comes from or the 7%. So I don't know if you're talking, you know, $500,000 loan or $100,000 loan. But if you have 3.5% or 7% total, you need 3.5%. Let me just go over it real quick. You need more than your down payment. So just think of, you need your down payment plus probably give or take about $3,000 or $4,000 for closing costs. So if you have that and the reserves that we always kind of preach about, you're in good shape.
Sweet. We have a slightly different question here. Antonio said, I got a quote for FHA at 6.5 or conventional at 6.5. Which one should I go with? So I'm going to tell you from the top, it's conventional's going to be your better bet, but I'm going to show you how I'm figuring that out. So I have this software I built. It's available on my website. It's called the Loan Clarity Advisor. Basically, it does the same thing that $100 a month software does, but I only charge like $27 for it once. So you could pay the $100 a month software if you want to from another company who I shouldn't mention, but I wouldn't recommend doing that. So we're going to put in a fake purchase price because you didn't give me that. It's going to apply the same. Oh, wait, you did. Okay, you said you're looking around $200,000. Okay, so here's what we'll do. Conventional down payment. You didn't say that either, so I'm just going to assume you put the minimum. An interest rate of 6.5. We just want to compare the loans. We don't want to look at points or fees or anything like that. So if we compare that to FHA, What you'll see is a pretty big difference here. In here, so over 30 years, you'd save $25,000 by going with a conventional loan. Over, let's say 10, you'll save $8,000. The primary reason why with FHA is you're going to pay an upfront mortgage insurance cost, along with a monthly insurance premium that's going to be higher than conventional. So conventional, for their monthly payment, you're probably going to run into mortgage insurance that's around $97 as an estimate, where FHA is going to be closer to $117. And this is actually a pretty high estimate on conventional. This is probably be closer to about, probably 50, depending on where your credit score is at. So conventional is almost always going to be your best option over FHA, especially if they have the same rate.
Cool. Perfect. That's hard to believe you're getting the same rate with a conventional and an FHA. Usually there's quite a bit of difference normally.
I'm curious if they're both the same rate, but one has a higher cost with it.
Yeah, bet you it is. I'd love to, if you could send in your loan estimate or the quotes that you got, we can analyze those and run that through our simulator like we showed earlier at the beginning of the video to scan and see what's out there for you. That's why we offer that service for free. Just upload your information. We'll do it. I usually review them, me or Alan, and we get back with you the same day. I usually do a short little video kind of breaking down the quote you have versus what we can do for you, and then just show you the numbers.
Yeah, and Drew just said PMI on his conventional loan was $26, and the FHA loan was $160. So that can be a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
Julie Green, you said, I'm looking for my first home to build a portfolio. Looking for first home to build portfolio. Okay. FICO, I'm guessing like an investment portfolio. FICO is 520, looking at a triplex. Zip code listed 188 days ago. Two units rented, will pay all monthly fees. Can I get FHA with 10% down? Yes. So FHA does allow you to get a loan if you have between a 500 and a 580. Forgot this thing. I keep cheating. Between a 500 and a 580 credit, or sorry, 500 and a 579 credit score, if you put 10% down. Now, sometimes people misconstrue this or they mishear this. It doesn't mean you automatically get approved. You still have to go through the whole approval process, but you qualify if you have 10% down between a 500 and a 579 credit score. 580 and above, you get 3.5% down. So just a little caveat in there. Every once in a while in those FHA videos, when I talk about it, people assume that I mean like if you have a 500, you just automatically get approved. That's
not we had a 530. We have a 534 approved today.
Cool. With 10% down?
Yep.
Sweet. Yeah, and it's amazing how few lenders do those loans.
Oh, yeah. That's what I tell people a lot of times. It's like you call, go through the, well, you know, there's no phone book anymore. I was like, you can call 100 lenders. I can almost guarantee you 99 say no.
And like, to be fair, those loans can be a little bit more difficult to work with only because the lenders, the wholesalers we work with who do those loans sometimes aren't the most tech savvy, aren't the most, you know, they don't integrate as well with software the way that we like to. So they can sometimes be more difficult to work with. But what I've found with a lot of loan officers, like being like, thankfully I'm not on Facebook anymore, but like when I used to be in like Facebook groups with other loan officers, there's this like ego thing with like clients' credit scores where they're like, I only work with clients who have a 700 and higher. And you're like, cool. How is this like, how is this an ego? How's your ego attached to this? Right. Like ultimately, yeah. What we want people, if they want to be able to purchase a home, we want to put as few obstacles in front of them as possible and figure out how can we help you do this? How can we help you get the financing to do the thing that you want to do and help you understand all of the facets so you can make the choice that you want to make about it?
I'll have to agree with Drew. I think he's going to be typing up something here shortly. How you always get, I always get the timer and you don't.
Wait. Oh no, you're right. Oh no. Okay. You need a timer button on your side too, so you can passive aggressively push it.
Dude, I'm so long-winded. I'm not even jumping on that one. Well, sometimes you just can't answer it. You know, I love giving the content behind. I can't stand, you know, when somebody just they don't understand, like, oh, we'll have a lot of people call and they're like, they turn me down, but I really don't understand why. I want you to know why. You know, our goal is to, if we can't approve you today, we want what you're looking for. We'll put you on a path. I'll tell you the whys you can't. Even if it's, you know, I sometimes take off my filters and I just tell you, your credit sucks. Here's what we need to do. You know, and it is what it is. But we're here to help. We truly are.
Yeah, Drew said, I just saw that comment. How come Kyle never gets the timer? All right.
I heard. Now, you're the timekeeper, so I'm shutting up over here.
We need to have like
shock collars.
Well, we need like little I don't know what to call them. We need like little power ups. Like I should have like three at the top of the show, and I can take it, and it gives me like a little bit extra time or something.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Or shock collars.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
Dippy Singh, welcome. G Lee, Antonio, Camargo. Sweet. Okay. La C. My husband and I, FICO score is around 728, which is awesome. We're looking to purchase land, build a barn dominium with a VA loan with a total of 12,000 debt combined in Prince Frederick, Maryland.
Me? You?
Oh, here's the question. Is it difficult to find a VA lender to build barn dominiums? I'm going to hand this to you and...
I don't even know. I haven't done a construction to perm yet, meaning basically, you know, a build your own house kind of loan. They are out there right now, but I'm almost sure. I don't know if VA offers that option. I know you can do it through FHA. I think USDA might have it, some option of it. There's conventional financing to build your own house on land. I don't know, Kyle, do you know, does VA have a build loan? Construction loan? You know how the one closed loans that we have? That you
VA,
can buy.
I believe, has a one-time close loan.
Yeah, we don't offer the program. It might be out there. That you stumped me on that one. I don't know if Kyle knows or Drew might know.
There's only one lender I know of who has offered a loan like that, and
they're out of business.
I'm not going to say who they are, but I have never heard a good thing about them. Drew said, I believe FHA is for two units is 75%, so 25% down. For FHA on a 2-4 unit property, well, from a 1-4 unit property is 3.5% down. On a conventional loan for two units, it's 15%. 3-4 units is 25% down. Cool. So we're going to get into some more questions here. Just want to do a quick little side note. We have 160 people here. That's
holy snikes.
That's way more than we usually have.
Yeah, and you were freaking out at the beginning. Before we went live, Kyle's like, dude, we only have like 40 people. And I'm like, just wait.
Yeah, well, it is a little scary in the beginning where you're like, no one's going to show up. We're going to have to sit here and look at each other. and we already talk enough to each other all day.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously.
Welcome, everyone, if you're new here. Yep. Obviously, please subscribe if you're here. This is Dan. I'm Kyle. This is Dan. Dan also has a YouTube channel. It's linked in the title of this video, so please go over there and subscribe after you're finished watching here. So Dan and I both are federally licensed loan officers. We work in all 50 states plus U.S. territories if you happen to be buying there too. I work on Dan's team, and we have a handful of loan officers who help our clients all throughout the U.S. Go through the process of getting a mortgage and getting approved and answering the questions that you have. And one of the most important things that we do is we help you see your decision-making numbers up front. So these are things like, how much house can I afford? Like, what's the max purchase price I can get? What's my monthly payment going to be? What would my interest rate be? Do I qualify for conventional or FHA? What are my closing costs? How can I get the seller to pay closing costs? We walk through all of that with you in a home loan consult. And you can go to winthehouseyoulove.com. And there's a big green button. I promise you won't miss it. If you'd like to get connected, Dan answers probably 50% of the consults. And then we also have Alan, Patrick, John, Nico, all who help mortgage advisors on our team who help there. So if you'd like us to help, that's one of the best ways to do it. My email is also in the description. You can reach out to Dan personally as well. And we would love to help. But all that aside, let's get on some more questions and my timer that always eludes me. MA said, I'm looking to apply for a first-time homebuyer through Prince William County, Virginia. It states that all households must have a 640 score. My first question is, what do you mean by Prince William County? You're applying through the county. I'm a little confused on that. But my wife's credit is not established since she's new to the U.S. What can be done?
It's probably a down payment assistance program.
Okay. You want to take that?
Yeah. MA, that's probably just your initials. My assumption is looking to apply for the first-time homebuyer through Prince William's County. I'm assuming you're applying for the first-time homebuyer program. Most of them, or I'm sorry, the down payment assistance programs, most of them do require a 620 or 640 credit score. So that might be what you're looking for. You do have other options, you know, maybe. But if you absolutely need down payment money, you might want to, you can get gifted money and a bunch of other options, but that's another area where you would, you know, click right up here and schedule a consultation. So we can go through all the options for you because it's hard to do it right here online, especially with the wording of your questions a little difficult, but yeah, 640 is usually required for down payment assistance.
Eternity Chris, good to see you again. Thank you for being here. Sorry, I blanked for a second. He said, hello guys, good evening. Tomorrow's the CPI report. Are you anticipating for rates to go down tomorrow if inflation goes down from 7.1 to 6.5? Dan is our economics guy. So I'm going to let him handle this.
So here's my thought, and it might not be tomorrow's CPI number, but the expectations, the last reading came out at 7%. Tomorrow's expectations are for the CPI number to come in at 6.5%. Here's what I think might happen. I don't think there's a lot of downward potential coming from this number, because then the Federal Reserve is going to come out and say, well, this number, it's only one number and blah, 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 blah. Because rates, like I said before, rates from November to today are down almost 1.5%. So I think a lot of this is baked into that right now. If you see the number go up, that's bad news. Everybody's expecting it to come back down because of the prices of fuel. You see oil prices went from $120 to like $70 a barrel. You have lumber prices right now that were $1,400 an ounce. They're now $400 an ounce. You have a lot of the big numbers. One of the biggest numbers in the CPI is housing or rents. Rents are on a four-month decline. So you're going to start seeing the CPI number really start to come down. Tomorrow should be, you know, a good number. But I think a lot of the downward movements in rates is already built in. We might see a little trickle down, but I don't see, you know, we might be able to peak down below into the 5% ranges. But if the number is hotter than expected, all bets are off. It might not be a good day tomorrow. But I'm not expecting a hotter than expected number, though, really.
I really want to just quickly welcome everybody who's commented recently. We're going to get down to EM. Christine, Brittany Jenkins, Yifty 08. Let's see, who else do we have? Anish just said, subscribe to Dan. There you go.
Thank you.
DJ Sinar, can you explain how non-QM loans work? What are the pros and cons? I'll try my best in 30 seconds. There's pretty much four main loan types. You have conventional, FHA, VA, USDA. Anything that fits outside of that box that needs a little more creativity usually is what's going to fit into the non-QM bucket. These kind of fall in a couple of different main categories of loans. You're going to have loans for self-employed borrowers. So things where they're going to look at bank statements for income. I won't finish this in 30 seconds. The bank statements for income, as opposed to tax returns or pay stubs that someone like with a normal W-2 would get. So they'll look at averaging bank statements.
I know. I can't just stop.
Sorry, I didn't mean for him Come to on, mess up you, your, the
can
answer
you sum
to
up
question.
Non-QM in 30 seconds?
Yeah, here's how I would say it. So I didn't mean to screw y'all up. trying to give some humor into some of these videos. Just think of non-QM loans are basically like the subprime loans of old, but don't have all the shitty little tweaks to it. For example, they don't have the negative amortization, the teaser interest rates, all those things. And number two is they require skin in the game. Most of the subprime loans were virtually in a combination some way, somehow of 100% financing. All the non-QM loans require probably at least 10 to 20% down. So you have skin in the game. You have a higher rate. But they are programs that just fit people that are just sit outside the box.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, when you say subprime too, it's not, a lot of the subprime loans used to be more predatory towards people who actually couldn't afford the loans. Where these still legally have to document you, your ability to repay the loan. It's just documented in an alternative way than what's on traditional. Am I like feeding back a little bit?
Nope. You're good.
How do I purchase a house as a travel contract RN?
Me?
Yeah, you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you've been doing it long enough, I don't see any problems, you know, because a lot of people work remote. So I don't know if there's more to that question. Am I not reading into it? If you've been a traveling RN nurse for the last 2 years, you have no problems at all qualifying. The tough thing is when you went from nursing to a traveling nurse and you're paid per client and things like that, where it gets really weird. But if you're just a traveling nurse paid W-2 and it's usually like a salary or very stable pay and you've been there 2 years, nothing to worry about.
S Funk said, I'm not getting any sound. I haven't had anyone else complain about sound issues. So, if there are, let me know. I will try to check it out. I'm going to do something a little bit interesting here. So we can catch up to the questions. I can make the chat subscriber only. So if you subscribe, within the, let's see, for 5 minutes or older, then you'll be able to chat. So that's going to help slow down the chat a little bit. I learned that from I have a guy at YouTube who helps coach me a little bit. And he was like, you need to do this because you're not able to answer everyone's question.
But again, if you're on here and you're not a subscriber, you're like, hey, that's not fair, whatever. Click the button right here. Schedule an appointment. We can answer one-on-one questions for you.
Okay. Let's see. Do you qualify for a first-time homebuyer program when you buy a house with a non-occupant co-borrower? Co-borrower is also a first-time homebuyer. So most first-time homebuyer programs only require one person to be a first-time homebuyer. A first-time homebuyer is classified as someone who has not been on title to a home in the past 3 years. So if you've been on title to a home in the past 3 years, unfortunately, you are not a first-time homebuyer. But if you're a co-borrower, hasn't been on title to a home the past 3 years, then the whole loan counts as a first-time homebuyer loan.
You're so smart.
I got some of these I can just nail, and other ones I'm like, oh shoot, how do I answer this in 30 seconds? Well, I'll tell you, YouTube gives you at a certain point they call them a partner manager, like an account manager of sorts. And they kind of like coach you through like what you should do. And so he was like, you should at least do that. So, you know, what's worse is he was like, you should look at doing members only chat. And I was like, I don't know that I can do that. Yeah. Like having people have to pay to chat. I was like, I don't know that feels good.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe not, but just to slow down the chat a little bit. So all you have to do is subscribe and then you can access the chat. Let's see. But that way we can catch up. Can you use future rental income to qualify for a mortgage if renting by the room on a single family home?
You take that one.
Oh, I'll take it?
Yep.
I need to reread it.
I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go grab a water.
Oh, we'll put you on a timer. Can you use future rental income to qualify on a mortgage if renting by the room on a single family home? Unfortunately, no, you cannot. Here, I'll do my little timer. No, you can only use future rental income if there's going to be an additional unit. You cannot take rental income from the room. There's one small little guideline called border income. I've never seen anyone be able to qualify for it because you have to prove that you've been living with that person. They're going to move with you into the new house. And they've been paying you basically rent in that capacity for the past 12 months. Have you ever seen a loan with border income?
Uh-uh.
Neither have I.
Never.
And it's funny because I see sometimes you see these like people on TikTok or Instagram and they try to like, they pitch those like these small little nuanced things as like, here's the secret to whatever. And they'll talk about like border income. But I'm like, in real life, I've never seen anyone be able to qualify with border income. It's just... It's so well, niche. You know,
the funny thing is, that's why I started doing videos, is I saw so much information out there that was wrong. I'm like, guys, somebody needs to explain to people that, you know, okay, if you read a book in the guidelines, that there might be some gray areas. I can tell you those gray areas. You know, some of them I can say, well, that gray area, it's there. But over 30 years, I've never done one or been able to get one through. So I would suggest you probably not try it because you're just running into a brick wall.
Yeah. Casey and Adams, Frank Coleman, thank you for joining and commenting. Also, this is the most people I think we've ever had here. We have 180.
Cool.
That's crazy. Abraham, how much harder is it to get a conventional loan with a 740 credit score, but less than 10% down as a person on a student visa, graduated about 1.5 years ago, on a multifamily home? Having a, so if you have a unexpired employment authorization document, you'll be able to move forward with this. The employment status doesn't change as a risk factor for a loan. So if your main issue, if that's your main concern, I don't see any issue with that. Doing less than 10% isn't a problem. With a 740 credit score, the underwriting software looks at you as like a bit of a golden loan. They really like that you have the 740 credit score. The only other factor in here that would be a consideration is what's your debt to income ratio. With a 740 score, you likely are probably going to be able to push that pretty high if you want to. It depends on what your down payment's going to look like, but I don't really see anything here that's raising an issue or, you know, a concern for me. Yeah, Drew said you cannot use border rent on a single family home, except in one circumstance, and it's a doozy to prove. Yes, unfortunately.
And just so you guys know, Drew is an underwriter.
Yeah. I know. I need. Drew always talks about me not replying. Drew, I'm pretty sure if I go back and look, you didn't reply to me.
Bam. You got him.
Let's see. Watch. I'm going to be wrong on that. I'm pretty sure because I want to have Drew on here. I'd love to have,
sure.
Because you're always on the yep. live chat. How much money typically would you want for a $250,000 house in down payment and closing costs? I'm going to throw this to you.
Sure. It depends on if you're a first-time home buyer. If you're a first-time home buyer, you can go with the first-time home buyer program with 3% down. FHA is 3.5% down. So let's look at that. And then what we customarily tell you is have an extra, I always say $4,000 or $5,000 for closing costs. If you need it, great. If you don't need it, that's awesome because you can buy groceries for a couple months and put some decorations on the wall. Then there's the reserve. Kyle has a great rule of thumb on reserves. You know, have a reserve account at least for 3 to 6 months of what your bills are. And if you have that plus the money for the down payment and an extra $4,000 or $5,000, like I said, you're in a great situation.
Drew, you said, Drew said, you look at emails every day. Oh, I think you were saying I'm not looking at emails every day. I emailed you on December 18th. See, I got this now. Emailed you on December 18th and I said, hey, would the 20th at 5:30 work for you? I didn't hear a response.
No answer. God, I wouldn't even talk to him again.
Oh, gosh. This is going to be an ongoing thing, isn't it? It's like Oregon and man. Francisco asks, what do you think about United Wholesale Mortgage? What do you think, Dan?
I used to use them as a broker. They unfortunately have you choose between them and Rocket. I way much prefer Rocket Mortgage. I think they have better technology, believe it or not. They have much better underwriting. I dealt with UWM for years, and I hate to say it this way, but I stopped using them about June. It was not good, the experience I had. On the broker side, we would broker loans to them, and it was just like missing documents. Their underwriters would, you know, it was bad underwriting. They'd miss things and so forth. But as a company, overall company, good company. But I just don't use them anymore.
So are you?
Because we have much better.
Are you going to respond to the cease and desist we get from Matt Ishbia, or you want me to do that?
Yeah.
Let's see, our ITIN loans. Good. My agent recommends me go that route. I have a social security number with 640 credit score or 650 credit score. My wife has an ITIN, first time buyers in California. The issue with ITIN loans is that it's going to be a non-QM product that we were talking about earlier, and it's going to require a lot more down. So you have $25,000 for a down payment, but ITIN loans, I believe, are going to start closer to 15% down. Are you familiar with the down payment? Because the down payment brackets change with a couple different factors on those non-QM.
Yeah, the non-QMs are all over the board because they are hugely credit score driven. 640 is going to be really tough. Usually you're looking at the high sixes, 700 range. There might be something there with a 640. I'm not sure. Non-QM loans have been around for a couple of years, but they're really still kind of really particular.
Yeah.
And I can honestly see them, you know, starting to kind of lose traction right now because of some of the products that they have. But I might be wrong.
I would see if you could qualify on your own for the loan, because your wife, you know, when you're married, your wife can still be on the title with you. She doesn't have to be on the loan with you. So if you can qualify just on your own and then have your wife on the title, that's going to be the best route, because you're going to get a better interest rate and a lower down payment by qualifying without going with an ITIN loan. Frank, you asked, what's updated with the new max price calculator? I need to change night buyout. It needs to not say new. So it hasn't changed. It's still the same, but I'm glad it works great. I am working on an updated one, but it's not. I need to change Nightbot.
Let me recaption my verbiage on UWM because of what you said about Matt Ishbia. So Matt Ishbia made it. He's the owner of UWM. Now. He made it that we had to choose if we want, we can't work with both of them. You can't work with UWM and Rocket Mortgage because they're at odds with each other. So you can either sign up with one of them via Matt Ishbia. So I elected to go with Rocket Mortgage because I just find more value in everything that they can provide me.
Yes. Sorry, I was looking at something else. Drew. Oh, wait, no, there was someone else who had a question that I wanted to answer really quick. Oh, he said UWM has crap files. Rocket only does easy files. Rocket definitely tends to prefer easy files, although their underwriting tends to be a little less strict. Or I don't know if strict's the right word. Sometimes I ran into UWM kind of becoming real sticklers on a lot of little things
that shouldn't even matter.
I had one an annoying fight between an insurance agent and an underwriter there who, like, literally on the HOI, on the homeowner's insurance document, the insurance agent just put, like, it was, the street was like North whatever, and it was just N Street, and the underwriter wanted N dot Street. I was like, you guys have, how?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Are you fighting over this?
Does that really matter?
Yeah, and one person's like, I'm not changing it because this is what's in USPS. The other person's like, well, this is in our, you guys, you all need to work this out. This is dumb. Yeah. Have you heard of NACA? NACA. I don't know how to say it. Yes. I've been saying I'm going to do a NACA video for like 3 years and I haven't done it. mainly just because it's not the easiest to get all the information for it. From my understanding of it, is it's actually funded in the back end by Bank of America. I could be wrong, but that's what I've heard. And I know that it has insanely good rates, like lower, last I heard was somewhere lower than 3%. Also, you're going to have, I believe, no down payment, no mortgage insurance. The problem is it's extremely hard to qualify for a NACA loan. You have to be a very specific type of person. I've also heard, and again, this is all what I've heard, I haven't done a ton of research on it, what I've heard from other people is that there also is an element of community service that you have to put in. They also put you with a counselor who basically looks at your finances, not just your mortgage. They're going to look at all your finances, all of your spending, and make sure that you actually follow a financial plan that they have before they're going to give you a loan. So there's a lot of upfront work that they require you to do before you move forward with a loan through there. When you get the loan, from everything I've seen, it looks like an insane loan. Like absolutely fantastic. It's just a lot of work to be able to get it.
And it's, I don't think a knack alone you can actually get really quick either. I think it's a long drawn out process, but yeah, it does provide great service for those that need it. So if you want to look into that, please, yeah, look into it. Absolutely.
Dan, have you quoted any, 2 or 3 Ks recently?
No. That's where we're starting to get a lot of phone calls for rehab. That's one of the next things I'm going to do a video on, and I can even share, you know, some of the data that I have. Maybe you do, your videos are much better than mine, so I can give you some content on the 2 or 3K loans. But actually the past two years, it's just been people buy. Nobody refinanced. Nobody was fixing houses. They were just buying and selling. So now we're getting back to kind of normal things. So I got to go back to the drawing board and start looking at those programs.
Yeah, because I think the last 2 or 3K video I did was maybe 2 years ago. But that's been the problem with the market recently is you just have people who aren't able to get their offers in with 2 or 3K. So it's kind of like, well, it kind of
has like FHA. Nobody would take an FHA offer last year.
Yeah.
So it was like FHAs were off the chart. You know, you had a conventional loan with great credit scores and everything else. And, you know, the sellers would just go through, I'll take a cash offer, conventional loans, and then I can sell it to one of those people. So unfortunately, that's what was happening.
Chelsea, is Kyle single? I am single at the moment. You know, there was someone who a year ago kept commenting on every single live stream, and I told him that he had to give me a dowry to be able to, if he was going to, you know, express some interest. And then he'd always come in and tell me how many goats he had. And so if you have a dowry, if you have land, if you have livestock, I will listen. That's what's required. And I wonder why I'm still single. How much in assets do I really need? You know, it's interesting. Oh, wait. I got my timer. Calm down. I've already wasted 4 seconds. I got to restart.
Yep.
Now I'm ready.
Oh, man.
You know, what's amazing for a lot of loans is, a lot of loans, you really only need the amount for the down payment and the closing cost for an approval. I don't think that's super smart to just spend all of your money and have no money left over when you buy a house. What I think is best is to have 3 months worth of reserves, so 3 months of that mortgage payment available after you pay for your down payment and closing costs. I think it's what's going to be best. Ultimately, what that number is varies so much based on where you're at, what loan you're getting. The best way to look at that number specifically is reach out to us. We can give you a quote and show you all monthly payment, down payment, closing costs, what it would look like if you negotiated seller credits. Well, because there really isn't one good number, because taxes here are completely different than taxes in, you know, where Dan's at, and that's going to change closing costs by thousands of dollars.
Thousands.
Just saying a number out of thin air is really irresponsible on our part. We really need to dig into the situation to give you something that's accurate that you can plan on. And make a good decision on it. Let us see here. There is a Dan here. I got that from Drew. Drew is our resident helper and also resident troll at the same time.
Best you already did that one.
Oh, you're so right. Aaron. Can a first-time homebuyer apply/use down payment assistance to buy a secondary home somewhere I visit often, but I can't live full-time? I have never seen a down payment assistance program that allows anything other than a primary residence.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Primarily because the way that these DPA programs are getting money is grants, either on a county or a state or a federal level, and they all designate basically increasing homeownership for first-time homebuyers, which is kind of the reason why. Chelsea said, can I get a loan for a dowry? Dan, can you issue a loan for a dowry?
Yeah, just do a consultation. And we'll figure something out. I got Zelle and PayPal.
Understanding correctly what a dowry is? Wasn't that those things in the Bible you had to kind of...
your flock. You would give 10 goats and a cow to the father and you'd give the daughter and got it.
Oh,
Kyle, you only need to get Kyle a goldfish and a cat, you're in.
So I'm using it wrong. I guess I should be the one getting it. Well, yeah. A cat at minimum. Christine, if my loan is about to be forgiven, I'm guessing student loan. Is that what they mean? Which student loan is about to be forgiven? If you
waiting on Mohila, do you know what Mohila is? Is that a student loan to process?
Mohela to process it. Public student loan forgiveness.
So I don't know if you're talking about the Biden administration trying to forgive student loan, if you're working on that, or if you have some other, Kyle will look it up real quick. If there's some other student loan deferment or they're forgiven. So you can actually, if you want to start the process now, you know, to as long as it's done prior to you closing and you have documentation of it, then it will not be part of your debt ratio. If it is not forgiven at the time of closing, what you have to use is, it depends on the mortgage product that you end up getting. Some products only require that you 0.5%. So let's say, you know, you take your loan balance times 0.5%, and that would be what the payment would be on some programs. Other programs has 1% of your balance. So let's say you have a, you know, $10,000 student loan. If you're going with some products, the payment would be calculated at $100. FHA, I think, still has it at 50 basis points or 0.5, so it'd be $50. But if you have the forgiveness, yeah, just get us the documentation and it will be deleted from your debt ratio.
Yeah, if you have the documentation, it doesn't have to be there. The only thing, and we're not student loan people. The only thing I would maybe be a little bit cautious of, and this is my complete ignorance to this program specifically, is not counting on it unless you know it's a sure thing. Because yeah. I know that even for a lot of people, because I know there are some federal workers who can get student loan forgiveness, who have been waiting on that student loan forgiveness for a long time and it hasn't come through. So I could be completely wrong again, because I'm not super familiar with that program. But I would be cautious of that. Sellers don't sell me on FHA loan.
Sellers don't sell me.
I don't know what that means. I'm assuming maybe like sellers aren't wanting to accept the FHA loan. If so, that is changing in a lot of markets.
Yeah. So are the credits. We're getting more and more contracts in every day with credits again.
Yes. How long does it usually take to hear back if we're approved or not after submitting all the required info?
Usually, if you've applied with us, usually within 24 hours. If it takes longer than that, somebody should be contacting you in the whys, because it shouldn't really take that long unless we're just backed up. If it's with another company, I have no idea, because we get alerts from all the lenders that we work with on a daily basis, what their turn times are. And some are, you know, a week, 10 days, because a lot of people are understaffed right now because they let go so many people because of basically the mortgage business really took a downturn last year. And now as the business starts to pick up a little more and more and more, people are short staffed. So we're actually in the hiring mode right now, because we're buried with business thanks to you guys. But you know, if you applied with us, please email me and I can check up on it, or whoever your loan officer is, with my team, is email them and copy me in on it. My email is Dan. I'll give you the easiest one. Dan@therateupdate.com. And that's our website, The Rate Update. So it's Dan@therateupdate.com. Email me and your loan officer. I'll make sure it's taken care of tomorrow. But if it's not with me, unfortunately, I have no idea. Usually, I mean, a couple days maybe. But if it's a week or so, you might have some problems. Or your loan officer might have got let go.
Oh, yeah, which is probably a good time for us to mention. Dan and I are both, we're federal licensed loan officers. Licensed in all 50 states and U.S. territories, which is fun. I want to do a loan in the Virgin Islands.
yeah, that'd be sweet. I feel like I'll go to that closing.
Yeah, I think that's really what I wanted. I wanted like a house visit. Yeah. So yeah, we have. I work on Dan's team. We have a group of loan officers who help all of you with your questions about buying a house, getting a mortgage, and getting pre-approved. Taking a look at all your numbers up front, and you can get connected here. Win the house you love www.pre-approval.com, and we'd be happy to walk you through any questions you have or just the next step with pre-approval. That way you can feel confident with the numbers that you have with your pre-approval, knowing that you can actually purchase a home, get a loan for it, and then you can work with your real estate agent, write offers on homes, and then we'll help you close that loan once you find the house that you love. Tie that all together. Dan, this is Dan Friel. His channel is linked here in the title. So please go and subscribe to Dan as well. Sugar Banana, which is, I'm so jealous of your username. Can you talk about using a physician mortgage loan? Timer. Physician mortgage loans often are really great. You have 0% down, usually no mortgage insurance. The only issue here is that they're usually only provided through super big banks or local credit unions. The main reason is because they kind of use the mortgage as a loss leader because they want the physician's other business. So they can be a really great loan if you are usually in residency or already a physician, but look to those companies to get one.
Dude, you did a good job on that one.
It's so hard to do 30 seconds.
Man. I didn't have to be sarcastic or anything.
When you see it get down to like 7, it's that like, oh, shit.
He's not going
to
make it.
I
got to
tie this up. Would it be wise choice for a first-time homeowner to purchase a new build or an existing home?
That's a toughie. And it's like, you know, I very rarely buy a new car because I just don't like buying new cars, you know, especially a new edition of a new version of a car. But some people love building their own house and doing stuff. So there's no real answer to it because it's your priorities. I've never built a house. I don't know if I could go through that because we do enough end loan, which is basically the construction loan. We finance the end of that. And there are so many headaches when it comes to those. It actually turned me away from building my own house. But that's my just choice.
Drew said, I see how it is. I don't look at my email for a month. Or he was
Did
saying
he in there. I hate. I'm going to be sarcastic. So sorry, Drew. I thought I saw a comment in here. He said something about he's an unemployed underwriter. Did he put that in there?
No. Yeah. No. He unfortunately was. I don't know if we're allowed to share that. I guess it's out now.
I think he posted in his thing. I don't know. I don't. Just so you guys know, I don't know Drew.
You're right. I think he did post here in the comments because I'm saying I don't know if we should talk about that. Okay. Yeah,
that's I read it. That's why I put that.
Yeah, he did post it. I know that he was laid off, unfortunately.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're in the mortgage business and you're a lender, we're not a lender, unfortunately, or fortunately, we are a lender, but we have a small staff in sight. So if you're a lender out there, you need a good underwriter, reach out to Kyle. He'll be able to give you Drew's information. Love to hook him up with a job and with somebody on here.
Kat said, be careful about the dowry, Kyle. I checked Chelsea's channel. She owns chickens.
Oh no. Is Kat on here?
Yeah. What's the trade ratio between chickens and cats? Like how many chickens?
I just know goats and cows.
Yeah. I haven't.
I really don't, but
I haven't stayed up to date on Catan, I guess.
Yeah.
Drew said your small staff could totally use a PA that can work alone. What's a PA? Personal assistant?
Well, not if he doesn't check his emails for a month. I got you. So that's for the Oregon stuff.
We did talk about, having a pre-underwriter. That would be an interesting...
Yeah. There might be something there at some point. I mean, we are buried right now. I rushed home and I text Kyle and like, dude, seriously, I'll be home in about 15 minutes. I'll log in and jump back on. I was stuck in traffic.
Let's see, Daniel. I know, Drew. I waited like a year to respond to your first email. I'm sorry. Daniel said, I bought my first house last year as a primary residence in March. If I want to be able to buy another house as a primary residence, do I have to wait till April to close? No. Nope. Am I missing something?
I'll go back to that smell test. You know what I mean? It no, you don't have to, but to buy another primary home when you just bought one 11 months ago or so, they're going to want what we call an LOX, a really good reason or letter of explanation what you're doing. You know, if you move just for your job, no problems. If you move for, you know, whatever. But what they're concerned with is the lender's concern is you're trying to buy another investment property using it as your primary residency. Because you in normal, if you're not a first-time home buyer, you only still need 5% down in most cases to buy a house. So a lot of people try to buy rentals, making them seem like their primary residency, and they load up on rental properties with 5% down, and then it finally catches them. I can usually kind of smell that out at the beginning. I'm not always 100% right on that, but I advise a lot of people, it's like, it's not going to fly. And please take my advice with it. So I'm just trying to avoid you guys going through four or five other turndowns and having your credit pool and just going through the headaches.
Well, and I will say there too that I think the caveat is that's if you're retaining the house as an investment.
Yeah. If you're selling it, no big deal.
Yeah. If you're selling it, then it's not an issue at all. If you're going to retain it less than a year, you might as well just refinance that into an investment loan. Because your occupancy agreement that you sign at closing is that you intend to live there for 12 months. And of course you can sell, no problem. It's just that if you're going to refinance within that time, you need to reclassify as an investment loan. Brittany, I'm looking to buy a home this summer through USDA, with 685 credit score. My salary is 32,000. Do you think my income is enough to qualify? Whether your income is enough to qualify or not really depends on what's your monthly debt, so your debt to income ratio, along with what is the house going to cost. You know, we're talking like a $400,000 home with USDA, which is probably pushing it for a lot of income limits, or are we talking closer to like 100, 200? So that's really where it comes down to. USDA tends to like around a 41% debt to income ratio, but can go higher. But that's probably going to be safer, is around 41%. Of your monthly gross income towards debts total. Zachary, Lou, I just paid my FICO to see my actual credit scores from all three. My mortgage credit score is good at 800, but it's showing me a FICO resilience score. Does this score affect anything for a mortgage? No, it does not. The annoying thing with credit is there's like a million credit models. Even inside of FICO, but
good call on the My FICO thing, because your FICO score is what people use, lenders use for your mortgages, your car loans, credit cards. A lot of the free services offer, like Credit Sesame, Credit Karma, they offer you what's called a Vantage score. No lenders use that. It's a great educational tool. But if you guys really want to know your true credit scores, the scores that we would run, you want to run just go to myfico.com, or I even have a website that can direct you right there, and you can get a discount off those costs. It's called Credit Scores, plural, Credit Scores and More.com.
EM said, are there any new first-time homebuyer programs still available? Do you recommend any? Would you like to take this?
Yeah, the only thing that comes to mind on first-time homebuyers is the 3% down. That's one. Another one is FHFA. So I'll just put it this way. They took away a lot of the interest rate bumps for your credit score. So what happens is the higher your credit score, well, you need basically a 740 credit score to get you the best rate in town. Okay, but as your credit score goes down, your interest rate goes up. Well, they've waived that temporarily. That your credit scores aren't affected as much. They don't affect your interest rate as much as they have in the past. So there's 3% down payment and discounted rates right now.
Casey and Adams, I had a 660 credit for a conventional loan when I started the process. I'm at the appraisal phase and a dispute coming back brought my credit back up to 695. Should I have them rerun it? Yes, have them rerun a credit report and they'll be able to use the higher score.
And if they tell you no, don't believe them.
Yeah,
they can use it.
That's true. Hello, guys. It's nice to see you again on YouTube. I'm trying to get a conventional loan with a cosigner. My question is, in order to use my cosigner's second job income, for how long he should work, to use secondary job income, you need a history of receiving that income for 2 years. doing a pre-approval this week. Baby coming in May. Congratulations. And taking family leave for 1 month. Is this a concern for banks? Should I close before May? So baby's coming in May.
If you can, that might be a question for Drew, but as long as when we call your job, you're basically off for maternity leave, you shouldn't, legally, you shouldn't have any problems with that. We can just show that, you know, your employer should validate that. The question is, are you still getting paid? That might be somewhat of an issue, but as long as you are going back and it's only, you know, a couple weeks or so forth, you shouldn't have any problems. But if there is a potentially, if you can close before May to avoid any confusion, you might want to do that.
Let me find another. Rodrigo, my last 2 years of taxes are garbage due to COVID and year of disability. Last year, I made $70,000 self-employed trucker. I have a 760 credit score and make $10,000 gross now. Can lenders qualify me with a good rate? Well, what's good is your income now is... You know, if you're at $10,000 gross now, you were $70,000. I don't know what your write-offs are with that, but it likely sounds like your income went down and it's now back up and stable. The next question that we would look at is how long has it been at that stability? Are you just now making the $10,000 per month, or has that been a trend over the past year? If so, what we could do is take a look at averaging the past 2 years if you're now at a stable income. The alternative to that is looking at something like a bank statement loan, which would be a UM loan, which does require a higher down payment. That's going to look at the average of your bank deposits over the past 2 years, either through personal or business bank statements, depending if a lot of truckers don't have a separate bank account. They'll often use their personal bank account. So there's a couple different strategies in here. Dan is a lot more familiar with constructing these deals and structuring them in the best way possible. So what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, the couple things stand out. He said, last year I made $70,000 self-employed trucker. I don't know. You do have 2 years of taxes. So here's one thing that might benefit you. Credit scores are good. If you've been in trucking, you've been a self-employed trucker for over 5 years, there's a good chance you're going to qualify with 1 year of tax returns. So what you might want to do is the tax returns you file in April, make sure that you don't write off a ton of money and make that income look as good as it can. But that's one of those ones we would go through a consultant with you or counseling with you, because I want to break down how long you've been doing it. Because a lot of times Freddie Mac, there's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I won't go through all those with you right now, but many times Freddie Mac will only require 1 year of tax returns if you've been employed for at least 5 years. So we could get your trucking license or your business license showing when you started. And if that's the case, you might be okay there. The next thing is it's a good thing is it's increasing, but you're still going to have to use a 2 year average. I get it where the things were really bad, but that's the guidelines. So, hopefully that'll give you a little bit of roundabout area, what you're looking at. You're self-employed. So please, like I said, watch your write-offs this year. I know you're going to might pay some extra in taxes, but it might really help you when it comes time to buy a house.
Princess Lopez, thank you for the super chat. You said, sorry, I'm very late. That is okay. You can join whenever you like. And said, hello. Thank you, Dan, for taking my call earlier.
Absolutely. I think she was my last call of the day.
How do you lock in a rate?
Just tell me you want to lock. There's no way 20 seconds. 20 seconds. Well, you have to be already approved with us and applied with us and everything else, and then we can lock in your rate. What we try to do is we try to monitor on a daily basis kind of what's going on with rates. It's hard to play that game right now, you know, because rates do fluctuate a ton. But I usually have a pretty good beat on the market. But as long as you put in an application with us, we get you pre-approved. And some products allow you to what they call a lock and shop, where you can lock in your rate right now while you're still shopping for your house. The other one is we can lock it. You have to have the house under contract because we need an address to lock the rate against, because everything's tracked in our systems and a lot of lender systems as the address. So if you already have a house picked out, we can lock it in. or if you don't have a house picked out yet, there is a lock and shop feature that we could propose to you.
Let us see. Oh wait, we answered that question. Frank said, great channel. Keep up the informative content. Thank you, Frank. Thank you for being here. Look through some other questions here. G Wall said, I used an FHA loan in 2021, but I had to have someone co-sign. Does this make sense now where I can't refinance and do another FHA loan on a multi-unit? This is going to be tough, not from a co-signer's perspective, but because you're the main borrower on the loan. So you have an FHA loan right now. The next question is, what are you going to do with this home that you live in if you're going to buy another house with an FHA loan? If you're selling it, things get a lot easier. If you're going to try to rent it out, that's going to make it very difficult to get things approved. And one of the main issues here, even if you're selling the house and moving into a multi-unit, I'm assuming that your current home is a single family. Please correct me if I'm wrong. If you're going from a single family to a multi-family, underwriters often view this as a bit of a downgrade. And so this starts to kind of trigger a little flag of saying, okay, we need to look at this a little bit more detailed for a second. Did you notice I didn't put the timer on this one?
I know.
It wasn't on purpose. They're going to look at that as saying, okay, are you trying to take advantage of an FHA loan to use it as an investment loan? Because a lot of people do this, and underwriters are not dumb. They do understand what's happening here. So you're going to have to write a very convincing letter if you're doing what they would view as a downgrade from a single family to a multifamily home on why is this an improvement for your living situation, or at minimum, a horizontal move in your living situation to do this. I have a feeling it's going to be extremely difficult for you to do. The easiest route is going to be if you sell your current house, then look at moving to a multi-unit. And the only thing that would make sense really here is if there's no increase in family size, maybe you're moving or maybe you have a shorter commute to work that's considerably different. Outside of that, I think it's going to be really hard to make that convincing to an underwriter.
Yeah. One big sidestep of that is if you're moving over 100 miles from where your current home is, you can be eligible for a second FHA loan.
Mm-hmm. I had one situation where I had a guy who him and his family lived, I think he had 2 or 3 kids. I can't remember exactly. They lived in a single family home. And then they used a VA loan to purchase a multifamily house or a multifamily property. And I told him, I was like, I don't think that this is going to work. I think it would be best to find another option. And he was like, I just want to see if we can make it work. And so he wrote this very long detailed letter about how this was going to be a better move for him. And the thing is, like, in these letters, it can't be, I'm going to do this because it's going to make me more money, because it gets flagged as you're going to treat this as an investment property. So every other convincing way that he tried to say, and somehow the underwriter approved it. And that was a fluke. And I don't know that in an audit that wouldn't have been caught and someone would have got fired. But I was like, I don't count on this ever getting approved in the future, because this is like a one-off thing that I doubt is going to happen again. How are you on time, Dan?
It's late. I can do about 5 more minutes. I got to run. I got an appointment in about 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I got one more tonight that I wasn't able to get to during the day. So I got another one.
Anita Morton said, hey guys, I love your channel. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Make sure you subscribe to both of ours.
Yes. And Dan's
mine's channel. Down there.
And there. In the title. Let me see here. Is payment shock required for any mortgage loan you get? Not very often, unless you're on like a manually underwritten loan, and that's very few circumstances will require payment shock to be looked at. Let us see here. If I reach out, will I be in contact with you guys? It depends how you reach out. If you go with the consult, you'll about half of them are with Dan. The others are with other mortgage advisors on our team. We have Pat, John, Nico, Alan. And then you can also email me if you'd like to. Let's see. What is a FHA 203B? That's just a standard FHA loan. Technically, it's called a 203B because there's also a 203K. There's also a 203H. There's one more that I'm missing.
There's a slew of them. Isn't there like an L or something like that?
There's a whole mess of them. But the standard, when everyone says FHA, it's a 203B. Let me see. Lots of replies in here that I'm scrolling through. So I appreciate everyone kind of answering each other's.
That's awesome. And that's yes, what it's for. I mean, on here, if, you know, if you're a realtor, post something, let us know where you are. Somebody might need, you know, help in that area. If you're, you know, something like Drew, you know, Drew, if there's somebody on here that's in the lending business and you need an underwriter, reach out to Drew. It's a community.
Woodrow, you said not, my
you might not check the emails, but that's.
Woodrow, you said my boyfriend just said that Kyle looks like a barista at her coffee place back in Dayton around 2015. I was
might have been
a barista in 2015. So who's
maybe just there drinking coffee? Your local. Where do you always go? No, don't say it. I was gonna say where do you always go get your coffee, but don't say it. I don't.
Oh, I'm not gonna say.
Not here.
Can't give you my my spots. Well, let me know who is your boyfriend. I'm sure I probably know him, unless they didn't work there. Maybe they just walked in. Dan, how do you find off market deals? You got any secrets here?
I don't. You.
No, if anyone had secrets, they would probably be selling them for three payments of $260. Oh, yeah. Yep, I did used to work at Boston Stoker when I was in, although 2015. Oh, wait, no, yeah. Yeah, that was out of high school. So, yeah, I did work there quite a while ago. Sweet. Well, I know, Dan, you're all on a crunch for time.
Sorry about that, guys.
Thank you. We have 205 people here. It's insane. So thank you for being here. Please subscribe if you're new. Dan's channel is also here in the title. If you want to reach out to us, my email is in the description. There's a ton of resources there. You can also go to winthehouseyoulove.com, schedule a consult, and we would be happy to help you. We're going to do this live stream next week, Wednesday at 8 p.m. as well. And as always, thank you all for joining. Have a wonderful night. Please reach out to us. I know we couldn't answer everyone's questions. It's just impossible for us to do so. But we tried our best. So have a wonderful night. We'll see you all, next week. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.